You're listening to Crossroads International Church podcast. Welcome. We hope this podcast will bless you from wherever you're listening to it. For more information, go to our website at xrgs.nl. And now, let's get into the podcast.
As we reflect on missions, I really want us to look at a scripture this morning that will maybe help us apply it in our own daily life. And I'd like us to, I'm using an old-fashioned Bible, because this is what is transforming countries. This is what is transforming people. And I'd like us to read in Luke 8, and it's the famous story of the sower and the seed. And what I'd like us to reflect on this morning is the power of the seed, the nature of the soil, and who we are as the sower. And so I'll read in Luke 8 from verse 5. The sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell beside the road, and it was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air ate it up. Other seed fell on rocky soil, and as soon as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it out. Other seed fell into good soil and grew up and produced a crop 100 times as great. As he said these things, he would call out, "He who has an ear to hear, let him hear." And then from verse 11 on, "Now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. Those beside the road are those who have heard, then the devil comes and takes away the word from their heart so that they do not believe and be saved. Those on the rocky soil are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and they have no firm root, and they believe for a while, and in time of temptation fall away. The seed which fell among the thorns, these are the seeds that others have, these are the ones who have heard, and as they go on their way, they are choked with worries and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to maturity. But the seed and the good soil are those who have heard the word of God with an honest and good heart and hold it fast and bear fruit with perseverance." I don't think you could even see this, but this is a mustard seed. And there's other scriptures that Jesus uses the parable that the word of God is like a mustard seed, so incredibly small. But as we look at just the power of the seed to transform, the word of God tells us of our origin, tells us about who God is. It tells us about his character. And as we reflect on his character, Exodus 34, 5 to 7 gives us the paradigm that we always need to go back to when we're reflecting on the character of God. He's gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness. He's faithful, just, and true. The names of God, Psalm 9, verse 10 says that those who know your name will put their trust in you. And the more we know about God's goodness, the more we know about his nature, the more we know about his motivation and ability, then our hearts are opened to be able to receive just this really small, incredibly small seed. And as we look at just the power of the seed to transform, this is just one of the few parables. There's only four parables in the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, that's repeated. And this particular parable is repeated in the first three Gospels of the Bible. And with that, we understand that there's a very big significance to understand what the power of that seed is to transform a life. But again, seed without soil won't produce anything. And I love how this parable kind of goes through this equation of different types of soil. And actually, the soil refers to the condition of our heart. And the first seed is just along the pathway, and the birds come and snatch it away. In Mark's gospel, we read that they didn't understand that the message was for them. So when somebody doesn't understand that the message is a personal message, that the God of the universe For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the power of the seed, but when people don't understand it, it can easily be snatched away. But I think maybe the rocky soil, and especially how Luke translates that, gives us maybe something that's maybe more applicable for ourselves. In Matthew and Mark, we read that the rocky soil, that they received the word with great joy, but they had no roots. And in a time of temptation, as we read in Matthew and Mark, but in Luke's gospel, he refers to temptation. So persecution and temptation are elements that can keep us from allowing the roots to go deep into our heart. And as I was reflecting upon that, I was thinking, in the area of the world that we just heard about this morning, there is real persecution happening because of the word. People actually do lose their life because of the choice to follow Jesus Christ. But in our world, that seems to be yet so comfortable, what are the temptations that maybe will keep us from allowing the seed to have deep roots within us? And with the simple biology that we get at school, we know that when a plant grows, the plant grows first down before it grows up. So the roots have to go deep. And if there's rocks and no moisture, then there's no opportunity for the roots to grow. But oftentimes the things that maybe will keep us from allowing that seed of the gospel to take root in our own lives is due to the things that we, are afraid of. The storms of life, as the storms of life come, that we look at the things that happen in our life, that the pain in our life makes us doubt that God cares. The loss that we can experience in our life can make us doubt that God is good. Maybe just even how I see myself can keep me from believing what God's word says about how he sees me. The enemy also comes with his relentless lies to try to sow that foundation of things that, you know, you're not good enough. And if you were good enough, then this wouldn't happen or that wouldn't happen. Instead of realizing that God always has a plan. And I know in my own life, when my husband was diagnosed with a brain tumor and the subsequent operation and his ability, he lost the ability to speak and to read and write, had to learn who we were again as a family, the temptations were there to allow my heart to get hard. And through just meditating on God's word to say, Lord, I don't know how to do this. This is way too difficult for me to handle. Will you come into that temptation to have my heart hardened? And will you come and bring new life? And I'm sharing this little example from my own journey just to encourage you. When you come up against the storms in life, know that God still has a bigger plan. Because when we look at the condition of soil, soil is composed of minerals and rocks that have eroded, air and water, but also organic material that has actually died and brought forth fruit in the soil in order to become good soil. So it could be that even when the temptations come, even when the difficulties happen in life, that is the preparation that God wants to allow in our life in order for the soil to take deeper roots. But then we see this whole journey of the thorns and the thistles, realizing that actually thorns and thistles also start from seeds. And the things that we allow to grow in the garden of our heart, if we don't pay attention, they can take over. There's one thing about if you have a garden or even a flower box, weeds tend to take over even without you wanting them to. So it means nipping it in the bud, and especially when we're looking at worry, because that was one of the things that choked the seed. The worry, and I think if you have children, there's many things that you could worry about. If you're just in business, there's many things that we can worry about. But the Lord is inviting us on this journey of saying, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about, for I am your God. I will help you. Surely I will sustain you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. So in the midst of the worry, to learn how to say, Lord, here it is. And in that short little bit of my own journey, that was maybe one of the biggest lessons that I learned on a daily basis of saying, Lord, this is too difficult for me to carry. I invite you into the difficulties. I invite you into my worries of the what ifs, because worry usually has to do with what if this should happen, what if that should happen, and the fear of losing control. And the Lord says, give it to me. But then it also says the riches and the pleasures of life can also choke the good seed. And the thing is that riches in and of themselves are neutral. Pleasure, having a good time in and of itself is neutral, except when it has our heart. The question is, has it become an ultimate thing that we are giving our heart to in order to find security and safety and, satisfaction? And the Lord is saying, don't allow things to become an ultimate place of security when only God is the one who can give that ultimate place of security. But then we come to the place of identifying the idols. And I grew up in Japan. I lived in Japan for 18 years, so I'm familiar with idols as far as what the world considers an idol. But there's so many other things that we can make into an idol into our life. Again, that place that takes over our heart, and that we pursue it because we think that that will give us all that we need in life. And the invitation is to say, Lord, I lay those idols before you. I want my heart to be set on pilgrimage for you. And that's what we read when we read about the good soil. And again, good soil is composed of many, many different elements. But when you put the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke next to each other, we get this progression that in order to have this little tiny, tiny, tiny seed land in our heart and ultimately bear fruit, it means that we need to hear the gospel. And I love it that the children, at least some of the children, are still here, because it's at that age, usually they say between the ages of 6 and 12 is the most appropriate time to hear about the fact that God's love is for you as well. God's love is for all of us. But especially having your heart set on pilgrimage at a young age is such a crucial deterrent for falling into pitfalls along life's journey. So hearing the word is really important, but also understanding it. You see, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All of us need a Savior. All of us need redemption. Colossians 1 verse 13 says it so beautifully, that we all were in the domain of the evil one, but that he rescued us from the domain of the evil one and brought us into the kingdom of the beloved Son. That's good news. And when we understand that we all need to go on that journey of saying, Lord, I'm not going to be Lord of my own life, but I want you to be Lord in my life, then this seed can reach its full potential. But it's not only hearing the word or understanding it, but there comes the next step of accepting it. And that's when we come to the place of confession and repentance, actually facing the fact that we need a Savior, naming the fact that we are sinners, but also acknowledging that the redemption that Jesus accomplished on the cross is enough to transform my heart, but enough to transform each and every one of our hearts. But then you need to go on after accepting it is to, in a good and pure heart. You see, the journey of salvation, the journey of discipleship is all about our heart. What do we allow to grow there? And the Lord is saying, come and let those roots go deep into the soil of your heart so that transformation can take place, but also to hold fast. You see, the journey is not over until it's over, until we meet Jesus face to face. That's when we'll enter even our eternal destiny. But up until that time, and I just really encourage each and every one of you, wherever you're on that journey, hold on. Don't give up. Keep going. Persevering prayer, and even the testimony that we heard this morning, the persevering prayer that is so important, because as you sow, no farmer would ever sow a seed without expecting results sooner or later. Personally, I prefer sooner than later, but I know on the journey of discipleship that sometimes our prayers may seem not to be answered very quickly. But on this journey, if we hold on, then the final area is that we will be able to bear fruit with perseverance. And one thing about fruit is that you don't see a tree really trying to bear fruit. Because of the root system, it will bring forth its own nature. It will bring forth its own DNA. And as we abide in Christ, this DNA of the Father, actually the fruit of the Spirit is really just the DNA of the Father, will have more opportunity to become a reality within us. But then to become a sower. Being a sower is not only for a few people to go to India or Japan like my parents did, or any other country, or myself coming here to the Netherlands. That's not really the only purpose of a sower. Each and every one of us that's been touched by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have a testimony. Revelations 12:11 says, they overcame by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and not loving their life unto death. You see, nobody can debate your story. Nobody can debate your testimony. So when you've been touched by grace, and you share that touch by the Spirit of the living God, that can shatter doubt, that can shatter walls, that can shatter resistance. Because you see, the power is in the seed. There's a beautiful verse in Psalm 126 that I've often quoted to myself. In 126, 5 and 6, it says, those who sow in tears shall reap with joyful shouting. He who goes to and fro weeping, carrying the bag of seed, shall indeed come again with a shout of joy, bringing his sheaves with him. And my prayer for us as a congregation, my prayer for us as individuals, is that we won't give up. That we won't give up in persevering prayer. That we won't give up in persevering, sharing the reality of the living God as he's touched our life. And realizing that the invitation is for each and every one of us to go out and just share the simple reality that we have met our Heavenly Father. Because he's the one who can reestablish our true identity. People are looking for identity all the time. But the Father is saying, come home to me, and I'll show you who you truly are. And not only who you truly are, but who you truly can become. And as we allow his identity to take root inside of us, that leads to freedom. We heard about a course to grow in freedom, and I'd really encourage anybody who is needing this area will really take advantage of this course to allow, the word to transform. The Lord is in our midst, and he wants each and every one of us to know beyond a shadow of a doubt if we are really part of the kingdom of heaven. And I know in a diverse congregation like this that maybe some are at different levels of the journey. But after I finished reading a short poetic meditation that I wrote on the power of a seed, I'd encourage you, if you really want to receive this knowledge of salvation, this heart transformation salvation, there's a prayer team that is willing and open to pray with you. But I'd just like to close in reading this meditation, because as I was pondering just this little tiny seed, I even have to put it into this little plastic container because it's so small, otherwise I couldn't even show it to you. But that seed has the potential to change nations. The seed of redemption, so small, so fragile, unseen to the naked eye, when planted in hearts open to hear of the one whose image is not captured in bronze or flare, releases a song that was sung from the beginning of time. All it takes is one small seed planted in any human heart to unlock eternity placed there before time began. The floodgates of sin and shame must openly submit to the one whose bruises and stripes and nail-pierced hands carry the blame. These vibrant tunes will resonate across each generation from every tribe, tongue, people, and nation. For he has made them to be a kingdom of priests to our God, and they will reign upon the earth. And so, Lord, we thank you for the power of the seed. Lord, that your word transforms, that your word explains your heart, that you have brought redemption through giving of your son. And through his love for us, we have a way of being reestablished in, contact with you. And so, Lord, I just pray that anybody who hears these words will submit to you and say, Lord, will you be Lord of my life in every area? That the power of the seed and that will transform even the soil of our own hearts and enable us to be the sower of the seed in other people's lives. Lord, we just ask for your help on this journey because we know that you are the one who says, come unto me. And so we bless your name today. And we just ask that this will resonate through the generations, but also with every tribe, tongue, people, and nation. For your name's sake and for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening, and we hope that you have a wonderful week. See you next time.